T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Richmond's Mayor LeVar Stoney has been very good about calling in at least once a week and kind of giving us an update on how the city of Richmond is dealing with the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak and the cooperation that the city is engaged in with the surrounding communities. And LeVar Stoney is back with us this morning. How you doing as we enter or we wrap up week three of the seclusion here? You okay? Your family?
I'm okay.
All right?
I'm hanging in there, and I can't believe it, John. You're right. This today would be, you know, the 4-week anniversary since me and others from across the region announced that we were declaring states of emergencies for our localities. So, 4 weeks in, I'm doing okay. I could use a haircut, though.
Well, I saw your picture. You're wearing your mask now?
Yes, I am. I'm wearing the mask. You know, I don't want other people's droplets to get on me, and I don't want my droplets to get on them. So, I am wearing a mask now, but I could really use a haircut.
I think everybody's eager to get back to the barbershop here when that's allowed.
Well, you can always do it at home, you know. You can always do it at home.
Years ago, I thought about buying a Flowbee, and I chose not to do that. When you look at the numbers in the city, you know, a lot of these deaths have been out here in Western Henrico County at this one rehab center. What's it looking like in the city of Richmond numerically, though?
So as of yesterday morning, we had 120 confirmed cases in the city and 6 tragic deaths. Mm-hmm. The numbers aren't high as they are in Henrico County. I know there's been a tragedy at the Canterbury Rehabilitation Center out in the West End. And it's just tragic. I think half of the deaths in the state, in the Commonwealth, are out of that facility. And so my prayers and thoughts go out to the family of those victims.
Is there any data about the individuals in the city who have succumbed to this or who've been impacted by it?
All that we know is that I know the first 2 deaths were African American. There has been a gap, you could say, in the reporting of the individuals. A lot of them are those who died were in that vulnerable class of senior citizens that succumbed to this. But that's just about all we know. What I called for yesterday is working with the Department of Health is how we can dig a little bit deeper on that data on who, we know age, we know gender, but we got to do a little bit more on knowing the race and ethnicity of those who've been confirmed and those who died of COVID-19.
There's a lot of concern about how some underserved areas of our community and across the country, some minorities are being impacted by this. I also feel like I've got to shoot up the flare here about how unemployment is hitting some of these minority groups. I mean, these numbers are pretty concerning. What are you seeing? Getting at your office?
They are very concerning. I mean, whether it's phone calls into the office or people hitting us on our social media platforms and the stories of the individuals, folks who, we're using this website, rvastrong.org, asking for people's stories, how they're dealing with the pandemic, being at home, complying with the stay-at-home order, and we're getting some stories that are just so sad, John, when people saying, you know, my story is very short. I lost my job and I got three kids, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, and you got to put food on the table somehow this weekend.
That's exactly right. And so when you think about, you know, the black and brown communities who are, who've been impacted by COVID-19, being black and brown doesn't mean that you are more likely to catch COVID-19. It's the underlying medical conditions that the black and brown community have had for generations, that disparity there. They're more likely to have diabetes, respiratory illness, hypertension. And so these are the underlying conditions that could lead you in the hospital if you were to contract COVID-19. And you add on top of that, a lot of those in our black and brown communities as well are our frontline employees, whether working at the local level, the state level, working in the service industry. They're the ones still working at the grocery stores, working at the drive-thrus, and also still working out for the local governments, you know, driving the bus, things of that nature.
I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. It's the same question that I asked Brian Moran, the Secretary of Public Safety, earlier. But I would do it whether I was talking to somebody in the city or the county, anybody
who's
an elected
official. And Brian's my friend, so what's good for Brian's good for me.
When you're talking about the health issue here, and we're realizing that the numbers, you know, 121 deaths, I don't diminish that. Every life is valuable. But they're not the explosive, tragic, huge numbers that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. What steps are being taken behind the scenes to analyze when to hit the button to restart the economy and to advise business owners and customers of best practices to try to make sure we don't hit a new spike, especially with the anxiety that we're now both acknowledging here that a lot of people have, hey, I've run out of money. I got to do something.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right. We're not having that explosive outbreak that you see in places like New York or Michigan, Illinois, Louisiana. We are fortunate to only have 120 confirmed cases here in the city of Richmond. But I will say this, though. Remember, any confirmation of COVID-19 is a snapshot in time. And why I say a snapshot? Because we're not doing the sort of real-time, instantaneous testing that I think that we need to do in communities throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have lagged behind other states when it comes to testing. And so the testing is just a snapshot. Not saying that we have to test everyone, but we still have to assume that each individual is walking around in our streets, who are at home, that these people may have a COVID-19 virus. And so before we start talking about reopening the economy, we have to probably do a little bit more on the testing. Now, I've seen the models out of the University of Washington state that Virginia may hit its peak in April 20th of this month. In Richmond, what I've talked to Dr. Daniel Vula about, he believes late April to early May that Richmond may hit its peak. Now, that peak is, I always say, is akin to a roller coaster. You've been to King's Dominion, you go tick, 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 all the way up to the top, and then you go down the hill. We are still on that front end right there. We're still going up. We haven't hit the apex just yet. When we hit that apex, when we feel like we've seen some flattening, because we do more testing, we've done more testing, then I think we can have that conversation. But obviously, we're not only talking about how we can get through the crisis today, we are obviously talking about the renewal and the recovery of society as well here in the city. And here's the thing, that return to normal, it won't be what it was before before March 13th.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody can deal with the idea of wearing masks and, you know, not touching doors and extra cleaning. You know, the problem is if you get to the end of the month and people haven't had a paycheck and they've burned through whatever government assistance was out there, you know, what society are we reopening in a couple of weeks, especially if we're only talking statewide, what, 5,000 cases total in the state of Virginia? I mean, at some point I'm hoping there's going to be a conversation about, yeah, this is a concern, but is it still the crisis that we thought it was a month ago? And I think that's a legitimate question to ask, don't you?
I think it's a legitimate question to ask, but also before I think we take steps to, number one, we should not be too hasty to just, you know, flip the switch and turn back on society without doing the necessary testing, I think. And I just don't feel like there's been an abundance of testing in the region or in the state. And we have to do more. And when they're talking about today, you know, I've watched CNN already this morning. They said Philadelphia and the D.C. metro area are current hotspots. And, you know, even though we have a stay-at-home order, there are still people who traverse between those two metropolitan areas, between D.C. and the Richmond metropolitan area as well. Mm-hmm. And so I got to get a lot more assurances before we go quickly to flipping back on the switch and opening up society again.
Real quick, before we go, what's the plan for city council meetings? I'm seeing the story that's in the Richmond Times-Dispatch today about changing the rules so that the council can meet electronically.
Yes, they're able to meet electronically, virtually. You know, there's a number of ways, technologies from Google Hangouts to Microsoft Teams to also meeting telephonically as well. Obviously, we want not only just to keep the employees of the city of Richmond safe, we also want to keep the public and also the members of the city council safe as well. And so they are obviously, I believe they voted yesterday to try and host some of these meetings virtually so we can get through the approval of the budget, which, you know, has to happen pretty soon.
You and I had a little bit of success, it sounds like, about these drinks to go. You know, this bipartisanship we joked about last Friday.
That was all you.
Didn't take long for the governor to get on board with that. I was happy to hear it.
Well, you know what I've heard from a number of my friends in Richmond is like, you know, once you start it, you can't stop it, you know. So it's my hope that, you know, we explore this being a permanent part of the way we enjoy libations in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But in this temporary moment, I think it's good for restaurants to be able to distribute with a sealed container some of the fine cocktails that we have in the city of Richmond. I know I'll be purchasing one soon.
Yeah. Well, it could be the margin that helps some of them stay financially afloat. So I will end with something positive, at least in my mind, there. Mayor LeVar Stoney from the city of Richmond, thank you. And
thank you, John.
With any luck, we'll talk to you again next week. Appreciate it.
Stay safe, stay healthy, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.